Testament letters that our passages come from today, the first Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21, and the second Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. Hear now God's word, beginning in Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In Galatians 5, 16 through 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. I'll let you know what's coming. Next week, we are starting a new series called Five Down, Five to Go. It is a quick two-week series. And the reason why the series is titled that way is because we are January. We are halfway through the 2020s. And the Lord has done a lot in the life of this church over the last 5 years. And we hope and pray He will do even more in the 5 years to come. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to make a commitment, a financial commitment, to this church, to its mission over the next couple weeks. So if you call this church your home, you will receive at some point, either in worship or in the mail or both, a card that we want you to pray about, think about, and then fill out as your commitment for the coming year financially. There are two reasons we do this. One is it stretches you to really consider what it means to be faithful with what God has given you in giving back to Him. Okay, the second reason is it really helps us to be able to have a sense of what we think the Lord will provide in the coming year. So does that make sense, everybody? If you haven't been part of this, this is just part of our culture. It's what we do every year. And so encourage you to be here as we look at what God has done, and we look forward to what God will do by His grace. But this morning, we are finishing our series called The Third Person. We have studied the Holy Spirit over the last 8 weeks, and I've been so encouraged by the feedback that I've gotten. I've talked to folks who have been in church for 50-plus years, and they've said, I've learned so much about the Holy Spirit that I didn't know, and that just blesses me. Many of you are in small groups, and you use this book. Raise your hand if you have one of these books. Okay, mixed reviews on this book. Some people really liked it. For others, the charts, the many charts, just a little too much. Either way, I hope it provided you just a way to have deep conversations with other Christians in small groups about who the Holy Spirit is and how He is working in your life. So I hope that it was helpful. And this last morning, where we're studying the Spirit, we are going to look at how to be filled, keep walking, and keeping in step with the Spirit. We have these obstacles, these challenges in our life as Christians, and it really is, it's a race, it's a battle, it's a walk, and All those metaphors are used in Scripture. The Bible kind of summarizes the struggles that we have as the world, the flesh, and the devil. Thank you. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Maybe it wasn't clear that I was looking for a fill-in-the-blank. I didn't tell you that. But the world, the flesh, and the devil. So the world and all of its alternative ideas, ideologies, the flesh, the desires that wage war within us that we know we shouldn't want but that we do want, that are bad for us, and then the devil, of course, our enemy, who prowls around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. We have these challenges and enemies in the Christian life. And what it means when we are filled with, keeping step with, and walking in the Spirit is that we have the resources to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll look at these two amazing texts. Father God, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. It is a wonderful day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to, as your word says. There's a lot going on in our world. There are people who are struggling in our midst who need help. There are refugees all over the world and in this community. Lord, we know that on Tuesday there will be a significant election. We pray that we would know that your sovereign will is going to be done and that we don't need to worry because you are in control. And that doesn't mean that we are fatalists. It means that we know that you are working all things for your glory. And so we can take part in working for your glory. So we lift up the election to you. It's in your hands, and we trust you and lead us in what we ought to do. We also want to pray for this morning as we are encouraged to pray for the persecuted church in the world. We pray for brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who claim the name of Jesus at great cost. We thank you that we live in a country where we can freely worship. We pray for our brothers and sisters who live in countries where they cannot. And we pray that you give them courage and strength. And Lord, we want to have the same courage and strength, so would you please guide us, give us wisdom. Oh, and we want to thank you and pray for Hope for Renewal, our church partner in Youngstown. Today is their 5-year anniversary. So we rejoice at that and we pray for them. And now, Lord, send your Spirit. Spirit, come and fill me so that I may speak your words. Fill us so that we may hear your word and respond. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look in Ephesians 5, that's the first text we're going to look at, but really both of these, Ephesians 5, 15, Galatians 5, 16, they both say essentially the same thing. Look carefully how you walk. That's what it says in Ephesians, Galatians 5, but I say walk by the Spirit. And again, this metaphor of walking, that it's a lifelong pursuit following Jesus. And it is a worthy, worthwhile pursuit to devote your life, not to yourself, but to a greater cause. I don't often quote this guy, Friedrich Nietzsche. He was an atheist philosopher of the 19th century, but this is what he said. It's true. The essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be a long obedience in the same direction. There thereby results, and has always resulted in the long run, something which has made life worth living. Now, he got the object wrong, but we've got it right. Jesus. Amen? So we, not because we're smart, not because we're good, but because, you know, God's been merciful and gracious to us. And so we want a long obedience in the same direction. Ephesians 5 helps us in this as it encourages us in wise walking. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And then I'm going to break down all the different things that it says. It says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Now, that doesn't mean that the days that we live, that being alive is a curse. It means that the days in which we live are filled with opportunities to do evil, and we don't want to do evil. Amen? So we got to walk wisely. We need to make the best use of our time. We have, I don't know, if we're blessed, we have 80 years. What are we going to do with it? You know, we have fifth and sixth graders in here, and we've got middle school and high school kids here. You young, and 20-somethings, you young men, are you using your time wisely? Are you using your time wisely? The data shows that young men spend a lot, and boys spend a lot of their time playing video games. It also shows that girls, young women, insofar as they have phones and they spend it scrolling on social media and shopping. That's what the data says. Boys and girls are different, by the way. But it can be an equal waste of time. Instead of doing that, you could work on bettering yourself. You could work on getting in shape. You could work on, read books. You know, the attention span of, my own attention span has just dramatically declined because I'm always looking for the next thing that's going to entertain me. That's not wise living. If you simply read books, good books that demonstrate what it means to live virtuously or what it means to live with vice and discerning between the two, figuring out how you want to live, that is time well spent. And what better book to do that than this one? Think about this. If you are 13 years old, okay? If you're 15, if you're 20, if you're 25, think about if you decided that you're going to start learning the Bible now and you're going to every day spend a little bit of time in it, imagine who you could be in 25 years, 30 years, when you're over 50 and old like me. Think about who you could be. And let's say you're 50 or 60 and you've never done it. What if you started doing it now? And you know what's really cool is we started this Bible in a year plan in January. We've been doing this, but more people jumped into it than have in the past. And I think it's bearing fruit in people's lives. We need to make the most of our time, brothers and sisters. We are commanded to make the most of our time. Do you procrastinate?
Yes.
We have one honest man in the room. Procrastination steals not just your future, but your present. Why? Because when you're procrastinating, you're thinking about what you need to get done and then fretting over it. You might as well just do it now, and then you don't have to worry about it. So there are all kinds of things that we can do to make the most of our time because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we have what the will of the Lord is here in His Word. And then He says, do not get drunk with wine. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is, the word is debauchery. In the Greek, it means senselessness or recklessness. One of the questions in our study book, I can't remember which week it was, but the opening question that we're supposed to answer was, have you ever been drunk? What did it feel like? Okay? So the guy who was hosting our small group went first, and yes, to my shame, I've been drunk, and this is what it was like, and I'm not proud of that. And then I think I was like second or third, and I shared too that I had been, and I wasn't proud of it. And then it went to, there was a woman who was next, and she talked about something, but it wasn't that, and then it went on. And we were like the only three that shared the whole time. So it felt like I was kind of exposed. But at any rate, we know what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we do not get drunk with wine, because that's senseless. It's you're not supposed to do it. It's a clear command here in Scripture. Don't get drunk. Now, it is true that wine gladdens the heart, Psalm 104:15. It's true that Jesus turned water into wine, John 2. Alcohol is a good gift from God. We are not legalists. We don't try to be more holy than Jesus, who never banned its use, and who, in at least one case, encouraged it at a party. However, if you have reasons for abstaining, then praise God, abstain. Like all gifts, alcohol can be abused in terrible ways, and this is how it is abused. It's abused by getting drunk, by being dependent on it, by actually laying down one's life for alcohol. And I would guess that all of us know people who have done that. We have numerous examples. I know I do in my family and among friends, and so we are commanded to not get drunk on wine, and we can apply this verse to all other substances. You know, pot recently has become this, it's fine, it's not bad for you. Actually, just a few weeks ago, the New York Times ran this headline: as America's marijuana use grows, so do the harms. It went on to say that this multi-billion dollar industry is causing all kinds of havoc. All kinds of havoc. If you're young, do not use drugs. Okay? Is that the first time you've heard that, young people? Probably not. It's terrible for you. So don't do it. And the same can be said for anything that causes our minds to alter in such a way that we're not really ourselves. So don't get drunk, high, trippy, blitzed, blasted, fried, hammered, loaded, plastered, sloshed, or tanked. It's all that's sin. And if you're under 21, obey the laws of the land. And if you have a problem with this, please admit it, get prayed for, and get help, and seek accountability, because you need it. So don't get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. The parallel is like be drunk with the Spirit. Be mind soul altered by the Spirit of God working in you and making you a new person. And how do we do that? Well, as the Spirit equips us for the war that we're in, for the walk that we're on, what does it look like? Well, first, verse 19, it looks like different speech. It says in verse 19, that we are addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that word for addressing in the Greek is laleo, which means to speak. We're speaking to one another with the Word of God. I think what this means is that we are encouraging one another. We're pointing each other to look up to the great God who loves us. We're pointing each other away from sin. Sometimes that looks like challenging one another. Other times it looks like, hey, you are loved, and I love you. And pick yourself up, and let's pray together, and I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to help you with whatever it is you're struggling with. Regardless, we are to build one another up with our speech. Does that make sense? And then it says, singing, this is also verse 19, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So we are to be singing to the Lord. You know, it's interesting because I would say that one of the most powerful experiences is going to a concert and hearing live music. Why? Because our souls were made to sing, and they were made to sing to who? To God. That's how we were wired, and so we are to sing to the Lord. I think we should seriously consider this. Like, why is it, I'll just go with my era, why is it that I can so freely go to a Van Halen or a Jimmy Buffett or a Beastie Boys, this is my day, remember, or a Beastie Boys concert and sing? Why is it easy to sing at concerts and then, and I'm gonna address you, men, and come to church and stand around and not sing? Men, I want to hear the bass when we sing. The tenors too, but the bass. I want to hear it. Because we were made to sing, and we're to sing to the Lord. And we are to actually, Monday through Saturday, not just here in worship, just like the songs of the Lord should be going through our minds. That doesn't mean that all other music is bad, or I'm not saying that. Remember, we're not legalists, but the songs of the Lord, we should be singing. And we should be singing them in our heart continuously and then belting them out on Sundays. I mean, that last song was a great example of this. He Will Hold Me Fast. That was, when we went a cappella, I mean, that was amazing. And that's what we're to do with the Lord. So speech, song, we're also supposed to smile. Okay? This is alliteration. They all start with S, but let me explain. Verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks, and when we give thanks, we're glad. Okay, giving thanks is almost equated with being happy in the Lord. This is G.K. Chesterton. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. So
So we give thanks. We give thanks always and for everything. Gratitude is such a pervasive theme. And if you know that your salvation is not up to you, but it's up to God, then it's gratitude all the way down to the bedrock. So we give thanks always and for everything. And then lastly, it says that we are to submit. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission seems like a bad word in our time, like the S word. It's all to Christ, and every single one of us is called and commanded to submit. Okay, Jesus, what did he do? He submitted to the cross. He's our model. We submit to the living God, and we submit to one another, but there is an ordered submission. And the next passage in Ephesians describes this in several ways. It describes husbands as the leader of their home and wives submitting to their husbands. And I know that's unpopular in our day, but just read the text of the Bible. It says it very clearly. And husbands are to lay down their lives to Christ and in leading their family. So I heard it this way, that husbands, they don't lead by serving as much as they serve by leading, by bearing responsibility. So you men who are married, you bear responsibility of leadership. And you wives, you are to submit, not to every man, but to your man, to your husband, as he is submitting to the Lord. And you submit to the Lord first and foremost. And then it talks about parents and children. Children, you are called and commanded to submit to your parents, to listen to what they say, to respect them. And parents, you are called to not exasperate them, but make no mistake, you are in charge. And then it talks about employers, employees. And later in the Bible, it talks about the church and how it's ordered. The elders are to lead and the congregate, the members submit. That's just the way that it's ordered. But all of us are to submit to Christ. We submit to Christ and we submit to one another. We serve one another out of reverence to Christ. So that is how we fulfill walking wisely in Ephesians 5. And then we go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, I would say, describes not whether you will submit, but which way you will submit. It's not whether. You are not a free agent. You're not neutral. You can't just, well, I'm just going to go my way. There's one of two ways. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Do you understand that when the Bible is teaching this, it's teaching that we are at war with our flesh to overcome? That's not that the body is bad, it's not that material is bad, but our desires that are opposed to the Spirit, we ought to put to death. We ought to go to war against them. And when he says that if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, it just means that if you're led by the Spirit, then you're fulfilling everything that the law tells you to do. And so it's a war. And it's not whether you're going to go either Spirit or flesh, or it's which one. You got to pick one. And so the works of the flesh in verse 19, they're evident. He begins, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. And then down in verse 21, he mentions orgies. All of this fits under the junk drawer term of porneia, which is sexual immorality. Such a stumbling block in our day, sex is. It's misused. It is a gift from God. It's to be used in marriage, one man, one woman for life. Outside of that, it is, and it's so abused in our day. It's such a stumbling block for those who would otherwise follow Christ. And one of the ways that I sincerely hope this is true in our church, I've prayed it for my kids, I've talked to my kids about it, is I want them to get married when they're young, you know, in their early 20s. And admittedly, people, you might think I'm so weird for thinking this. Like, this is not what is happening in our culture. Because in our culture, people are waiting until they're 30 to get married. And there's this idea that you got to be independent, you got to establish your own life, and then you'll be mature enough to get married. To that I say, why? Well, because you aren't really, like, in some sense, it's hard to be fully mature until you get married, because then you're responsible for somebody else, and you've got to submit to the leadership of your husband. What wife wants to do that? What husband wants to take responsibility and lead? It's difficult to do. So if you get married in your early 20s and then you grow into it together, you know what you're doing? You are, like, these roots are intertwining together, and then you have children, and oh my goodness, that's when you really grow up. And, you know, not everybody is blessed to be married. Some are called to singleness. So I'm not saying it's for everybody. Some are not blessed with children. I'm not saying it's for everybody. But by and large, the pattern is you get married early, you have children, and you figure it out as you go. And the Lord provides. And one of the reasons why is the 20s are next to impossible to get through without compromising if you are waiting to get married until you are in your 30s. And that's just the water in which we swim, you know? It's just like, and as a church, we really want to push back against what the culture teaches. And so we've had long conversations as elders about, when people are living together, we love them. We want to come alongside them, but we want them to get married. Because if they're living together and not married, they're living in unrepentant sin. Does that make them work? No, we're all sinners. We're not saying that. But we want to graciously, clearly call people to repentance and do whatever we can to walk alongside them. That is what we've done every time when we've encountered this. And we will continue to do so. And this is not to lay any guilt trip on anybody, okay? There's free mercy and grace at the cross of Christ, amen? And all of us are also called to put away sin and to be like Jesus. Another part of this is pornography in our day. And it is just a fundamentally life-destroying vice. It dehumanizes women. It dehumanizes those who use it. It absolutely hinders and even destroys intimacy in marriage. I mean, it really is like being really thirsty on a hot day and taking that glass and putting it into the toilet and drinking it down. That's pretty gross. But that's what pornography is. And if you have an issue with this, please be prayed for. Let people hold you accountable, because it is addicting. And you may have to cut off things like your apps that lead you into sin. You may have to have somebody take charge of your phone. You may have to do any number of things that are embarrassing and difficult. But do you want to be free from sin? We want to be free. And so we do things that will help us in this regard, because this one is a huge stumbling block in our day. And it's a huge stumbling block for the young, for the middle age, for the old. Now, strife is a different one. And in verses 20 and 21a and 26, it says, the works of the flesh, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. And then it says in verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Now, all of these is constellation of sins of the flesh that have to do fundamentally with measuring up against each other, comparing how we are compared to somebody else. And there's backbiting, gossip, comparing, discontent with what God has given us. These are terrible. They're so corrosive to the body of Christ. And so we want to treat one another humbly. As I said last Sunday, if we have a problem with someone, we go to them. If somebody has wronged us, we go to them. If we've wronged them, we go to them. It's the only way to have healthy conflict, is to go, take the initiative. Actually, that just happened last week to me, and I was so grateful. And so if you are sitting here and you're thinking, gosh, I've got to talk to David about this, please come and talk to him. The door's open. I want to listen, and we ought to all be open doors, ready to listen to one another. Doesn't mean we have to agree with everything that's said, but we do need to be willing to be open. And that just takes all of the power out of, like, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions, and all of those things. And so we aren't controlled by anger. We are controlled by the Spirit. It also mentions drunkenness, which I've spoken to. Here's a weird one, and that is sorcery. Did you notice that it says that the works of the flesh are sorcery in verse 20? Well, I just want to encourage you, the spiritual realm, I want to warn you, the spiritual realm is real. And there are dark forces, spirits, that would love to get a foothold in your life. And so things like Ouija board, if you have one of those, get rid of it. If you know, we have folks who have gone to see a medium, who have done that before, and maybe you've done that, and I'm not, no shame, but just repent and get it out of your life. Because the very best thing that could happen if you go to somebody like a psychic or a medium, here's the best thing that can happen. They are completely duping you and taking your money. It's the best. Guess what's worse than that? They're not duping you, and they actually have knowledge, but that knowledge is demonic. So don't open yourself to that. It is clearly a work of the flesh, it's sin, and you want to steer clear of sorcery. Do not mess with it. The Bible strictly forbids it. It is demonic. And lastly, so sex, strife, sorcery, substitute gods. And that is the word idolatry, right at the beginning of verse 20. Idolatry is essentially putting anything that is good above God in importance. And all of us, I would say, are guilty of idolatry. This is everybody. Calvin said the heart, human heart, is an idol factory. We all are struggling not to put good things as God things above who God is. And so we repent. If there's something in your life that you're thinking is more important than God, and you're feeling that, and you're devoting time and attention and money and all those things to it more than you are God, then repent and turn from that idolatry. And I want you to note the stern warning here, where it says in verse 21, I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is to keep walking in the way of sin. It really means that you were never a Christian to begin with. And so if you were on that path, then leave the path of destruction, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and turn back to the Spirit. And I want to run through these. If you walk by the Spirit, you will look like a completely different person. And we are becoming different people by the power of the Spirit. Amen? It's good news. It's so wonderful. And here's the evidence of it, the fruit of the Spirit. It's all of these. If you can squint, you can see those words up there. Love. We are people who have deep love in for one another in marriage and in families and in our spiritual family and in our among our neighbors and even among our enemies. We have joy even in the midst of trials and difficulties because we know that God is working. Even in disappointments, when we want something, we don't get it. We know that God is good and all the time, and that is the foundation of our joy. We can have peace. We can actually be free from worries so that we sleep well at night. And some of us, you know, in our particular life stage, maybe we get interrupted in our sleep for various reasons, I don't know. But we can go back to sleep then because we have deep peace. We have peace with, we know we have peace with God because we've been forgiven. So we have peace. We have patience. We can take time with people. We can wait and not be so driven by our own agendas. We don't blow up in anger. We're quiet, we're patient, and we wait. We have, some of these are self-explanatory, just basic kindness and goodness toward people. We are faithful to the living God. We're not afraid. You know, when other people believe differently, we're not afraid to say what we believe and to stand on what we believe with faithfulness, gentleness, along with patience. We, you know, the leadership of men in their households should be characterized by a deep gentleness and patience. And then finally, all of this under self-control. Increasing self-control, increasing ability to put away the desires of the flesh and to take on what the Spirit is doing in our lives. And so what we want to do is keep in step with the Spirit, and we want to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Note, crucify the flesh. That's uncomfortable. It's painful. And yet, the only way to live is to die. The only way to live is to die. And so we crucify the flesh, and we live by the Spirit. And so, I say to you, let's keep walking, amen? Let's keep walking with the Spirit, being filled by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. Just as you and I have been born again by the power of the Spirit, let's walk with Him until we finish that mission. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. It is so challenging and also very encouraging. And we are grateful. We're grateful for you, Holy Spirit. What a blessing it is to learn more and more of who you are and to be able to walk with you and keep in step with you. And Spirit, would you keep us? Would you help us to keep walking with you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please lift up your hands, receive this benediction blessing. And now, knowing that the Holy Spirit lives in us and our bodies are temples and we are to walk with Him, may we do so. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always.